I'm standing here in the somewhat ironically named Victory Square with members of the Christian Peacemaker team who are in Baghdad and have had a presence here for a couple of years. Today they're protesting and fasting for justice for people who've been detained by occupation forces, often for many months without their families having any access to them. And so I'm going to speak with Peggy Gish, who I hope will be able to tell more about the situation of detainees and why they've taken up this form of protest. So, hi Peggy. I guess my first question is just a bit of background. What is the CPT and what are you doing here in Iraq at this time? And then what has your work been with detainees and around detentions?
Okay. CPT is an organization that has its office based in Chicago and Toronto and has been for the last 15 years been sending teams to troubled areas of the world to be a nonviolent presence. And we have teams in Hebron in the West Bank, in Colombia in South America. We have had teams in Haiti and Chiapas, Mexico in the past. We currently have teams in Native American communities in Canada and United States. We started with our team here in Iraq last fall, a year ago in October 2002. I was one of the first of the groups to come here. When we first came, our aim was to try to be a part of the worldwide movement to try to stop this war from happening. But we wanted to get the story of the Iraqi people back to North Americans and to people from around the world. Since the war, we've had a continuous presence of people rotating in and out. Since the war, we have focused on the project of the detainees. And this started when families started to come to us saying, my brother, my son, or my father has been arrested by U.S. forces. We don't know where he is. We don't know if he's still alive. Can you help us? Can you help us find him or get him released? And so we didn't know if we could do much, but we started to go to various U.S. officials and to see what we could do. We found that sometimes we could get a little bit of information from the IAC, which is the Iraqi Assistance Center, staffed by U.S. military. And we went there. We were only able to find out information for maybe 5% of the cases we would bring them. And so we decided we needed to do more. And so we started what we call this a campaign for justice for detainees in Iraq. And we want to get their stories to people from around the world, let others know so that everyone can voice, can say this must stop. And we're particularly concerned about the lack of justice for detainees. We don't know, some of the people that we are writing about might be people who are part of the resistance. Maybe they did do a crime. We don't know that. We are not trying to decide guilt or innocence. We are saying they need to be treated with respect and they need to be given their basic human rights and legal rights. And they need to be able to have access to their family. Their family needs to know where they are. They need to have compensation when or have their goods returned to them if when they were detained soldiers stole money or gold out of their house. So all these things we are speaking about. And so there are many, many problems around the detainees. So what we've decided to do was to have, well, first of all, we wrote up a report of 72 cases outlining the different kinds of problems that we're seeing. As we wrote, outlined statistics about the types of people arrested, the types of abuse against them. And we started to take this report to U.S. officials here. A group of us has gone to see an assistant of Bremer's. That's Ambassador Richard Jones, who is a chief policymaker under Bremer. And we met with him and we brought these concerns and gave many examples of abuse. And he said, yes, we know that there are many problems. We are trying to correct it. Feel free to give us more specific information and we will follow up and try to investigate them. Well, we haven't heard very much. We don't know if much has come out of that. As a follow-up, we were trying to get a meeting with him and with several human rights workers from Iraqi human rights organizations. We had that meeting set up 3 times and it was postponed, so we're still working on that. Because we don't want them to just hear our concerns through Americans, we want them to work directly with the Iraqi people. So, and we want them to have ongoing meetings with the Iraqi people, so it is actually something, a relationship that they're beginning. We want to back out of that process and let them do the work. Because we think that it is the Iraqi people who should construct the new justice system in Iraq, not Americans. And these are people, these human rights workers are people who know what the problems are and what needs to be done. So that's one piece. We've also gone to visit an assistant of General Sanchez, and his name is Colonel Warren. And he is the chief legal advisor for Sanchez. And he, again, he said, you know, we're trying to work at these problems. We're going, so many, many promises, but at least they listen to us. Even though we don't know if we're going to get any results from this, we feel like we have to try this approach and do all we can to work in the system as well as to confront the system. So now what we are doing is we have started a Lenten fast and a letter writing campaign for detainees. So we are calling on people from around the world to fast with us if they want to and if they can, and in any way they can, to try to draw attention to this problem and also to be in prayer for the problem. In hopes that the prayer can exert some kind of moral force in this situation. Also, we're asking people to take the names and pictures of particular detainees that we are sending back, and the picture I'm holding today is of one of those. And the way to get involved is for a church or a mosque or a peace group back in North America or anywhere in the world, they can take the name and get the picture. They can have their own vigils there, but that we want them, all the members of their group, to write at least 2 letters on behalf of that person to the U.S. government and also to Paul Bremer. And we hope that the pressure of these many letters or people or letters to the editor or whatever they can do, that the pressure from many, many people will exert some kind of influence on the administration and what they're doing here in Iraq.
Just to end, you are holding a picture of a young man whose name is Yasser Hamid Ahmed Al-Mohammadi. And I was wondering if you could maybe just share a little bit about his situation.
Yes. We met his uncle and a friend of his, and we heard their story. He and his friend were just driving in their car going to visit the friend at his home. And this was last April of 2003. It was just like maybe the day or two before the U.S. troops came in to invade Baghdad. They were on the edge of Baghdad, and there were U.S. troops milling around on the outskirts. And as they were driving close to a, they didn't see the checkpoint yet, but they were getting close to a checkpoint just around a curve in the road. Shots rang out, and they were both injured by shooting from the American troops that were hiding along the road. Of course, it stopped them. They were injured. The U.S. military came up to see who they had shot. They saw they were injured, but they saw that they didn't have weapons. They were not fighters. So they took them to a hospital, and then as soon as they were healed, they were taken and put in prison. The other friend has been released, but not Yasser, the one of the picture I'm holding. In fact, the family does not know where he is. For a while, they thought he was in the Buka detention center, but now they got word that he has been transferred, and they don't know. And they've tried going to the many different detention centers. They've tried going to the general information centers, the places where you're supposed to go to get information from U.S. military, and they've gotten no help at all, no information about their loved one. And so this boy is still there, and yet he didn't do anything wrong. He was just driving in his car with his friend. And so he is just one example of thousands. Human rights organizations here estimate that there are 18,000 at least, and possibly more, detained by U.S. forces. And some of these people are not even charged. Many of these people were rounded up in whole neighborhood sweeps. Some of the pictures we're holding today are from a village where they were looking for one person, but they came in and they just took every man that was in the village and detained him. So it's just this kind of collective punishment.
There's a sense, I mean, I want to ask you about the conditions in detention camps, and our military detention camps, but there's also a sense in which even if you perhaps have committed some act that might be worthy of detention, there's a sense in which being detained by an invading and occupying force is illegitimate almost no matter what. And I guess I was just wondering, what position does the CPT take on that issue, on the issue that, you know, there's due process, but then there's also the fact that it's an occupation, and the U.S. shouldn't be here to begin with detaining people?
Yes, we are opposed to the occupation. We feel it is an illegal occupation, illegal war, and so we don't think that the United States has any right to be in here and patrolling the streets even, or taking over the economic institutions. I mean, it's just a wide gamut of things that the U.S. is doing illegally. They are changing the Iraqi laws. They are privatizing the companies. I mean, it's just many, many things. But as far as detainees, it's against the Geneva Conventions, what they're doing. And it was an illegal war as far as involved as not having the approval of the United Nations. So yes, very much, we're not just trying to make conditions better under the occupation. We really, our main goal is really to resist or to get rid of the occupation. We happen to think that many Americans who don't automatically see that, that it will help them to understand how horrible the occupation is if they hear the information we send about the detainees. So that's part of what we're doing.
I don't want to keep you a lot longer because there's a lot of people wanting to speak to you, but I would like to ask, just in that same vein, what are the conditions in detention camps?
Yes. We've talked to many detainees who have been released, and we hear some horrible things. We hear that when they first come in, they may be for several days, that they are kept with their hands tied behind their backs, often with hoods on their heads for many days. And even in the hot times of the month, I mean, like even in the hot times of the season, where they were not allowed to, like, just because they're cuffed, they weren't allowed to just get water themselves or to use toilet facilities. It's just like humane kind of treatment. Some of the people received psychological abuse. For example, there were three brothers that were arrested, and the U.S. soldiers even told their family when they took the boys These are young adults. These are boys in their 20s. When they took them, they said, yes, we made a mistake. This is the wrong home. We didn't even come to the right place. And yet they detained them. Well, these young men told us about the treatment they received. They would blindfold them and they would shoot the gun right next to them and they would say, your brother is dead. We just shot your brother. And then later they would find out that their brother was not killed. But it was just ways to try to break them down. They started a diesel engine real close and it made it sound as though a large machine was approaching them just to terrorize them. Many of the people would have their handcuffs tied so tightly that their hands would swell or that they would just start bleeding around their wrists. And their hands would go numb. They have scars to show that. I recently talked with two men who were detained near Al-Dora, just the southern part of Baghdad, and they shared that they when they were in detention, they had blindfolds on, so they couldn't see what they were doing. But somebody put something like on their head and all around their body that would give them electric shocks. And they would make them stand or squat in a rigid position for hours at a time. And if they would move or fall over, they would be kicked and beaten. So it's just kind of, this is torture. This no human being should be treated like this.
If people want to find out more about CPT or read the report that you've written about detentions or get involved in the campaign, what should they do?
Okay, they should go to our website, www.cpt.org, and there's a lot of information, a lot of stories, and you could get the pictures and stories of these detainees and be a part of our letter writing campaign.
Thank you.
Okay.